Sunday mornings at Yellowknife Vineyard.
Gifts of the Spirit, I started 2 weeks ago, and Norma read that Acts passage to us. I want to lift out just one verse from the Acts passage. Brothers and sisters, choose seven people from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word, because it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God to wait on tables. And that brings to the surface this big thing of Christian vocation and needing money to pay accounts and doing ministry. And is there a space for vocational ministry? What is volunteerism in church? What does that even mean? Now, in this series on the gifts of the Spirit, which is going to be a longer series than I envisaged, we want to be moving our teaching between what I'm going to call our head, our heart, and our hands. Very simple. Today's message is really simple. You don't even have to concentrate. You can have a nice snooze there. It's very specific to Yellowknife Vineyard Church. But we're going to move our teaching and our preaching always between thematic, expository, head, heart, and hands. Because the heart cannot be moved by something which the head has not understood. And the hands cannot be moved by something which has not moved the heart. So the head moves the heart, moves the hands, and they're always intricately connected like that. We're going to move between those things. I want to talk about the concept of volunteerism in the church. Is there even such a thing? Paul speaks of no one being no one in the church in 1 Corinthians, in the sense that everyone has something to bring. Everyone has a gift to bring. We are all members of one another. You are not your own. You do not belong to yourself. And in the Western world, we live as if we belong to no one other than ourselves. I divided 2 weeks ago the gifts into three categories. I said just to help us get our heads around them, speaking gifts, serving gifts, and sign gifts. I'm not going to look at any of them today. I'm speaking in broad categories. We will look at all of them individually. We recognize that not all of us know what our gifts are, and we're going to be working at that too. We'll be doing practical workshops later on in the fall to get you to come to grips with what your gifts are. And even when we do know what our gifts are, we don't always explore them fully. We kind of go, Lord, you do this thing with me. What does that thing mean? What do I need to do with this? And sometimes we need to kind of lean into those, and we will be doing that. I also mentioned that the three lists in the New Testament where the gifts are, which are in Ephesians, Corinthians, and Romans, and also their mirror in Isaiah in the Old Testament, are not exhaustive lists. Please don't go, oh, there are 12 gifts or there are 18 gifts. There are multitudes of gifts. These are all examples of the kinds of things that God gives. They are not exhaustive lists. So we will be leaning into those and learning more about our giftedness. It's not a static exercise that says, I have X and Josh has Y. And that's kind of it. It doesn't work like that. But what is very clear from the scriptures is that whatever you have been given, you are meant to be using in service to the body of Christ for the sake of the kingdom, wherever you find yourself. And you, unless you're a visitor, in which case you're welcome amongst us, and you find yourself here. That is where you are meant to use the gifts that have been given to you. Yet in the Western church, or if you prefer, the church in the global north, our failure is seen in the thing that we call the 80-20 principle, that 20% of the people do 80% of the work. It's no different here at Yellowknife Vineyard Church. 20% of the people do 80% of the work. If we look at lockdown, maybe 10% of the people did 90% of the work. How does that happen? How does that come about? What's the problem? Why is it that way? Let me give you a rundown of what the problem is. Historically, I am the problem. Historically, in AD 325 at the Council of Nicaea, after the Council of Nicaea, the Roman Emperor Constantine declares Christianity the official state religion. At that particular point, priests became remunerated for what they did. And some people entered the priesthood from a wrong motivation, for the money or for the power. And that form of what I'm going to call a confusion of empire and kingdom, empire being the government of the day and kingdom being the kingdom of God, that form of confusion has remained with us in one form or another for 1,000 years during the church era. Now, I'm not against vocational full-time ministry. If I were, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing, right? I do believe there is a place for being set aside. The scripture that we looked at this morning speaks of setting people aside to a particular ministry, setting people aside to a task. But my own conviction is that moving ahead, the church with a capital C, not just ours, will be seeing an increase in models based not only on bivocation, but on multivocation. We're going to be seeing more and more and more of that. I think moving ahead, it will become rare to see large churches headed up by one high-profile leader who is fully and only dedicated to the local congregation. Now, there's room for disagreement here, but I share my honest conviction, and certainly church trends bear out what I'm saying currently. The text we looked at earlier would seem to recognize some of the challenge. So this isn't new territory. It wouldn't be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. But in recognizing that vocational ministry, for want of a better word, because that's not a great word, is valid, we need always to be on our guard against calling people who do the work and then the rest of us watching them while they do the work. Everybody gets to play, right? That's what we said in the vineyard. Everybody gets to play. More recently, we've said it like this. Everybody gets to play their part. Now, even worse than the reality of us spectating the people who do the work, we live in a service-oriented world. You pay for what you get. And when the church, as it has done historically and probably does now more than ever, starts viewing its teachers and pastors as service providers who we pay to look after our spiritual needs, when we feed the consumer culture of our day with that mentality, well, then we're in the shtuk. Then we're in trouble. Our culture has become a culture of spectators. You have the expectation of being served. You pay and then you get served. And that mentality and that expectation carries over into the church. Eugene Peterson, before he passed away in 2018, said it like this. He said, people learn to shop for churches. There is no loyalty to the church. They are consumers being attracted to one product or another. I think it's sacrilege to tell you the truth. I honestly do. That's what Eugene Peterson said. He also said it like this in his very famous commentary on Jeremiah called To Run With the Horses. The puzzle is why so many people live so badly. Not so wickedly, but so inanely. Not so cruelly, but so stupidly. There's little to admire and less to imitate in the people who are prominent in our culture. We have celebrities, but not saints. Famous entertainers amuse a nation of bored insomniacs. Infamous criminals act out the aggressions of timid conformists. Petulant and spoiled athletes play games vicariously for lazy and apathetic spectators. People aimless and bored amuse themselves with trivia and trash. Neither the adventure of goodness nor the pursuit of righteousness gets headlines. I don't think he was saying you shouldn't be following the Toronto Blue Jays. I think what he was saying is that really drives you, that thing that really motivates you is what guides your life. Let me give you an example of how bad it gets. In 2009, when I was considering a call to a particular vineyard church in Cape Town, a very troubled church where there'd been many factions, I used to sneak incognito into mediated meetings that would have 300 people in attendance as they were trying to resolve their problems. Now, the congregation didn't know that the call had already been issued to me, but I snuck in incognito to see what I was letting myself in for. And in a particular meeting, and that church had been pastored by one of probably the five most prominent vineyard people in the world at that time and even now. And a woman stood up. He was a brilliant preacher. A woman stood up, rather entitled, sort of ever so English woman. And she said, "Well, I don't know who you're considering calling to this place, but we pay very good money over here to hear very good messages." That thing flew through the vineyard in the world. When we get to that place where we see the people who we've called as service providers to feed our spiritual needs, we are in deep trouble. I think it took me around about 6 months to invite her to take her money and leave at that particular time. Forgive my cynicism. Let me get a little bit more specific to the Northwest Territories. I think what tends to happen up here is that many people relocate from further south. They come from big churches. And very often those big churches have a way of feeding a consumer mentality because they have 7 or 8 or 9 full-time staff. And then people are able to come into the church service and literally be Christian consumers and do absolutely nothing because everything is laid on for them. And then they come to the Northwest Territories where this is a very big church and nothing is laid on for you. This is as big as it gets in this space. In summer, we're a little empty. The church looks after the church. Really forgive my cynicism. Cynicism tends to start creeping up on you in your 50s. I'm aware of a church who shall remain anonymous, further to our south. 2,000 people they seated on a Sunday before COVID. On their first Sunday after COVID, their first public worship service, 3 people came to that public worship service. That church has shut its doors. It had 27 full-time remunerated staff who have all been laid off. Clearly, there was something wrong about that model, where 2,000 people turned up to watch 27 people being Christian and doing the stuff. There's something wrong about that model. And the body, at the very first hint of adversity, scattered and was unable to pay any kind of price, be it ever so small, for their faith. A continual battle that pastors face now, and I face to some extent, is that some of you are still hugely impressed by the big and the glitzy and the sexy, God TV, mega congregations, high-profile pastors. You need to decide what your stream is and settle into the stream that you've decided upon. You need to sign up for full service somewhere. If not here, then elsewhere, but you need to sign up for full service. Those big ministries, I bless them because Jesus said, "Leave them alone if they do what they do in my name." But I want to say to some of you, stop being tossed to and fro by every wave of teaching. Just stop. Stop being fascinated by everything big and popular. And start asking yourself, what is God saying to us here at Yellowknife Vineyard Church? People ask me, what is God saying to the church with a big C? I go, for goodness sake, are you kidding? I'm not a prophet to the world. I've got a vague idea of what he's saying to the local church I happen to pastor. What is God saying to us over here? What is your role in that? Get your feet and your head and your hands and your heart into this space if this is the space that you've decided upon. If this is you, where you feel you belong, then belong here with all of you. You know, will there always be big and influential churches that are resource-type churches? I believe there will be. And in the Northwest Territories, we're actually one of those. I mean, we are. 200-ish is what we are with kids. That makes us one of the biggest churches, if not the biggest, in the Northwest Territories. That's as big as it gets up here, right? But I think that those very big mega churches will become fewer and fewer. And they will need to be like all of us on our guard against moral failure. Why do I say they will need to be particularly? Because big money, big congregations, and big power skews reality, and Scripture speaks about it continuously. Power and money corrupts. And we see it in the news all day long. We all need to be on our guard. But they will particularly need to be on their guard. You see, as the saying goes, if you build an empire, then you get an emperor to rule over you. Whatever God chooses to do with us, don't ever allow me to be emperor in this space. Just don't allow it. Whatever God chooses to do here, mercy Jesus, I need to become gradually less by moving to the side, not out, so that others can emerge and become more, and our model of leadership moving forward can be a far more noticeably shared model. So what is the solution to this challenge in the church, this problem that has plagued the church since forever? What have we learned coming out of the pandemic? Can it be business as usual? Because I don't believe it can be. I'm very loath to say, well, here's the solution, let's just do it. But I will say that I can see the component parts that need to form something of the solution. The first one is theological, ecclesiology. People have no understanding, that, by the way, is the doctrine of the church and humanity. People have no understanding of what the church is, what the local church is. It's a theological concept. If you don't understand what the church is, then you won't have much value for it. An understanding of the doctrine of the church and humanity, because 21st century believers in general have little, if any, understanding of the central role of the church in the life of the believer. So this would revolve, for example, around the New Testament concept of us not belonging to ourselves, but belonging to Jesus and to one another. The body being made up of many parts. We all go through seasons of disillusionment with church. I had a season of 4 years where I didn't enter a church. It was just me and Jesus. And then the Lord said to me, hey, when are you going to get yourself involved again? We all go through seasons like that. But at the end of the day, those Christians who don't do church and claim to be very, very, very close to Jesus on a continual basis fail to understand that Jesus is the head of the church and the church is Jesus' bride. So if you say to Jesus, I love you, but I don't like your bride, it's like saying to him, your wife is ugly. That's what it's like. How can you be close to Jesus if you're telling him his wife is ugly? That doesn't work. Secondly, discipleship, which flows out of ecclesiology. We will need to train people in things like leadership. We've done quite a lot of that here. We need to do it again. Understanding of gifts, what we're doing currently, that kind of thing. We'll need to disciple people again. Alpha, that sort of thing. Then thirdly, broadening our understanding of tithing and giving. Because your service here is directly related to your understanding of giving. When we have reduced our giving to financial contribution only, we have unwittingly fed our consumer mentality. You're paying for the service that you get. I've said this before and I'll say it again. I do not know who gives what here financially, and I plan to keep it that way. Because knowing that stuff also skews the way I would behave towards people. I've heard people, administrators, say things like, oh, so-and-so doesn't give very much in a public meeting. That will not happen here, nor will it be tolerated here. I don't care who gives what here. But do not think of your giving as limited only to financial contribution. You are not paying for a service. If you want to talk about something like giving financially and tithing, I can summarize it in one short passage. The church looks after the well-being of the church. We are the church. We look after the well-being of the church. There isn't a notice on the door that says, this sermon sponsored by Northwest Till. $100 an hour. But that we could do that, then I could preach a little longer, right? We don't do that because the concept is we belong to one another. The church looks after the church. The church, it has more to do, it has not only to do with giving, it has to do with stewarding everything. It has to do with stewarding the kinds of people that we bring into the church. We don't bring somebody into the church as a pastor who has the pastoral gifting of Heinrich Himmler, except without the compassion. We don't do that. Was a joke, by the way, but it wasn't very well received. We don't bring people like that onto church staff. We don't bring people into a team of leaders who break confidence, who share financial details of who gives what with others. That kind of thing seriously dishonors God. We will not be doing that over here. Now, I don't even like using the term volunteerism because we are members of one another. It's an ecclesial understanding. We all share in caring for this space and everything and everyone that comes into this space and everything that flows out of this space. We are not able, nor do we want to put a sign above the door that says this message sponsored by Northwest Till. Let me close this just by talking about leadership in general. Earlier, I urged you never to allow me to become emperor in this space. A few years back, I was a little concerned that the leadership team as it was then seldom differed with me. They seldom differed with me. If I recommended somebody for leadership, they went, yes, that sounds good. We've grown beyond that. Recently, I've been challenged on 2 to 3 things and said, no, Milt, we don't think that was going to work. That's going to work. And I want to say to the leadership team, thank you. Thank you for not just affirming me. Your role is to hold me accountable and to support me. But we need to be able to hold one another accountable. It's very, very important. Thank you, too, for those who have considered a call to leadership and have said, no, the burden is too big. I'm not going to take it. They've declined because you've prayerfully counted the cost and felt it too weighty. I'm always concerned when people go, yes, I'm in, because that means they haven't counted the cost. Often that is more indicative of a need to be seen or a need to be seen heading something up. There's a cost to this thing. I don't want to feed any kind of what I'm going to call diva mentality, nor the kind of person who's never happy unless they're leading. You never give leadership to someone who cannot live without it. You never give leadership to someone who cannot live without it. I've done it in the past, and it's bit me in the butt every single time. You never give leadership to someone who cannot live without it. If you always need to be seen to be up front, here, it's not going to work. It's not who Vineyard is. If you can't just hang out with people, it's not going to work. If you protect your territory, your ministry, as my personal domain, and you're unable to build a team and allow others into that space, it's not going to work long term either. It's not who we are. If, on the other hand, you're not sure you belong here, please don't test whether you belong by taking on any leadership role. That's not the place to test it. Leaders need to lead in a way that always protects the dignity of the individual and builds up the body of Christ. It's a really, really difficult call. It honestly is. When leaders lead from a paradigm of ownership of a space or a ministry or a mission and protect that space as their territory, then the body is not functioning as it should function. When the term team emerges, then the body begins to function as it's meant to be functioning. So I want to close this very simple plea. It's a bit of a challenging message, more than I usually would. What will your role be here in Yellowknife Vineyard Church to ensure that the body is functioning as it should? The call here is to step up and to step in. It's yours to embrace or not to embrace. It's about belonging. Let me explain to you how Vineyard churches function. You have say, you have voice here. We don't have a membership. We don't have a baptismal role. Your voice, your say is limited to the extent of your involvement. That's how we work. As the series continues, we'll learn more about gifting and what your gifts are and how to put them to work. I'm going to close with this little passage from Jesus, Matthew 9, verse 35. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." This church has grown. We had 100 people for an outdoor barbecue service last weekend. We've never had more than 40 or 50. There are not enough people doing the work. Would you ask God what your role is here at Yellowknife Vineyard Church? What he's saying to you? Let me give you an idea of where you can serve. Hospitality, catering, and functions. For now, you can speak to Anita. We're going to restructure all the departments. Hospitality, caterings, and functions, speaking to Anita for now. She will give it away eventually. Ushering and coffee, speak to Paula or Renee, who are with us this morning. Audio-visual, you can speak to Ben. Worship, speak to Seeth, Nicole, or to Josh Mitten. Missions, speak to Ben or Teresa. Youth, speak to Richard or Jessica Pakunyan. Social justice and local outreach, speak to Nicole Sock or Jessica Pakunyan. Kingdom Kids, speak to Jabin or Jessica Carrasco. Preaching team, speak to me. Prayer team, which we need to build, please. We need prayers in this space. There are not enough prayers. Speak to me. We will be running the five-step prayer model again. That's the prayer team. Pastoral care, speak to me. Small groups, speak to me. Alpha and evangelism, speak to me. Admin team, speak to Cherise. Those are spaces you can serve in. All the teams are being reshuffled, and it will become a little bit clearer by the fall. Hopefully by then, your gift set will also become a little bit clearer as we move through the gifts specifically and teach into all of them, the speaking and the serving gifts and the sign gifts. And so we pray, Lord Jesus, would you come into this space again? I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up. We're not online this morning because we are short-staffed due to summer and people being away. Let's stand and worship the Lord again, and we'll see what God wants to do with us.
Thanks for listening. We hope you can join us next week. Have a blessed week.